Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studios here, local, state, national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I told you right before the break that there is a absolute right under certain conditions and in accordance with, you know, whatever applicable statutory or case law exists in the federal or state arenas for a challenge to be brought against, you know, an election result. It is a right. It's not even confined just to the candidates. Oftentimes it's also provided for the electors. The actual voters themselves can bring a challenge if need be. But that being said, you got to do it right. You got certain parameters you have to walk within. There are standards that have to be met. And oh, by the way, just because you want to make a challenge does not mean your challenge will be upheld by the courts. But there have been some interesting challenges this year. We've had multiple elections go through the challenge process, and we've had some pretty dicey elections come down to, like, you know, in Lee County, that state Senate race, one vote in a multi-county race. That's amazing. Well, one of the guys who's been in the thick of all this is my friend Brian Taylor. I told you that Brian is an attorney in private practice right now, but he is also a JAG officer in the National Guard, served time in Iraq. He's been a state senator, served with me down in Montgomery. He's an advisor to two governors, and has been now the legal counsel for people making challenges to include Kimberly Butler in House District 2. All that to say, let me welcome him on. Brian Taylor, how you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing well, Phil. Glad to be back on with you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Well, you know, I asked the question before, and I still don't have a good answer. How did you get involved in all these challenges?
That's a good question. I don't know. The phone rang. We picked it up. We listened to the to the evidence that the clients had, and we decided to take the cases.
Well, good enough. And listen, I think the work you did down in Lee County was enough that basically brought it down to the point that Senator Whatley, who was the incumbent, decided just to back off of his efforts to pursue it further. He recognized where things were going, but you kept that alive for a while. And I know it didn't go down your client's favor, but her vote was at the center of it all.
Yeah, and you know, possibly more to come on that. Not sure at this point. Senator Whatley ultimately stood down his contest and decided not to press it. But in that case, as we've discussed before, Phil, I represent the voter whose ballot was rejected, and she is still evaluating her options. She registered or attempted to register to vote at the driver's license office, which is a federal right under the motor voter law. And so she may still be wanting to pursue her remedies under that law, but that remains to be seen. It sounds like that contest is over, and Jay Hovey will be the next senator from, or at least the Republican nominee from Lee County.
Yeah, rightfully so. And before we get into Kimberly Butler, I think that the situation you had there with Miss, was it Miss Tenney? Was that her name, Tenney? I think it was.
Yes, Patsy Kenney.
Yeah. Yeah, your client in Lee County, the bottom line is the world needs to know. There needs to be something that says, at least in a declaratory form, the court should say, yes, you should have had your vote counted, or no, you're interpreting this incorrectly, so that future voters who have the issue will know where they stand. And oh, by the way, to also maybe direct ALEA, the law enforcement agency for Alabama, to correct their procedures if necessary.
Yeah, the law requires that a driver's license application and a voter registration application be processed simultaneously. And this is a law designed to make it easier for people to register to vote. In Ms. Kenney's case, she was someone who's always voted. She's always voted Republican. She's a staunch Republican. She went to the office, to the driver's license office. She provided all her information. They took her information. They told her they put it in the computer system. And what we know now is they ultimately did not process her driver's license application because she had to go to see her eye doctor and bring a form back to get her driver's license. But no one informed her that her voter registration information would not be submitted. And so she left the office believing that she had submitted her voter registration application. She goes to the polls and is told she's not registered. So imagine how you would feel if you went into the voter registrar's office, filled out your form, thought you were registered to vote, and then you get to the polls and you find out that a registrar or a staff member at that office failed to process your paperwork. Yeah. And so her argument is that in that case was that her vote should have been counted, and she may have an opportunity to see before the courts whether that will be the case going forward for voters in her situation who go attempt to register at the driver's license office.
All right, man. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and shift gears to House District 2 up in the Shoals. You represent Kimberly Butler. She placed third in the results that were published in the original primary votes, so she was not in the runoff. But she's been attempting to, with your assistance, been attempting to challenge whether or not she should have been included in the runoff because of, you know, issues with the registrars not doing things correctly and putting people in the right place to vote. All that to say, after everything that you and I have talked about on the air, a meeting was held last week, not really a hearing, just a phone meeting among the steering committee, and basically without you being present, y'all were basically told, no, we're not going to let you have this appeal. Am I right?
Yeah, my understanding is in that case, and again, we believe Kimberly Butler came in second place in the primary and should have been the candidate in the runoff. We had affidavits to that effect. We were prepared to present those affidavits to the committee. It was uncontroverted evidence. Had the committee considered the evidence, it was uncontroverted that the that those voters had been disenfranchised by being assigned to the wrong district. Therefore, they did not receive ballots to vote in the race for their nominee. And some 3,000 voters plus voted for Kimberly Butler in the primary. Certainly, she had enough affidavits to overcome the 14-vote gap by which she was declared the third-place finisher rather than the second place. And, you know, we were hoping the party would hear that case, look at the evidence, and declare a new runoff election, according to the statutes, between Ben Harrison and Kimberly Butler.
Well, so, all right. I don't know if this qualifies for a hearing. Maybe they'll say it was a hearing, but the reality is you didn't get notice that there was this meeting. You weren't there to provide, you know, a voice for your client. You got the result after the fact. What now? I mean, are there any options remaining? Because I was on the show yesterday. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Jeff Poore was on my show yesterday, and we were talking about this, and I was a bit chagrined that the non-lawyer, Jeff Poore, made a great point that the lawyer B should have thought of, and that was they gave us nothing to stand on. They gave us no precedent for future situations like this to rely upon. They just said no, and no explanation. So now what, bud?
Well, you know, Kimberly's evaluating her options, too. She may have a path for an appeal to the courts. We're looking at that right now. But the bottom line is the party had the opportunity here to correct a colossal bureaucratic blunder in failing to register voters in the proper district and giving them the wrong ballots. So we were obviously disappointed. We thought that was the wrong decision not to hear that contest. No one disputed that those voters had been locked out of this race and were unable to cast their votes for Kimberly. And at the end of the day, if you count not just the votes that were not cast for her in the primary, but all of the votes that she got in the primary who would have voted for her in the runoff, all of those people were disenfranchised, some 3,000 voters, because they weren't able to vote for her in the runoff. So we think this is the perfect kind of case that the trial courts, a circuit court might consider. And certainly one issue will be the adequacy of the hearing that was allegedly held. To the best of my knowledge, it was a telephone call between steering committee members. We were aware that there was going to be a call of some type, but there was no formal notice of a hearing, and I think that's a potential issue.
Yeah, I think it is too. So let me ask you this. You know, lawyers talking here, jurisdiction matters. The jurisdictional issue for this one was that the at least the first line of resolution is held by the party. There's no question about that. But do you think there's actually a way forward from the party's ruling to the courts at this point? I mean, and you don't have to tell me your legal strategies if I don't want to, but it sounds like you're leaning towards the possibility that she could go from the party's ruling to actually seeking court intervention.
Well, I will say this, Phil. I think there is precedent from the Alabama Supreme Court that paves a way for her to challenge this result in the circuit court and to request a new runoff. And at this point, we'll just have to keep our cards close to our vest, if you will. But we'll have more to say about that next week. But look, I do want to say this. the party the steering committee members who make these decisions are regular citizens. They're volunteers. Nobody's paying them to sit as a court. But when they're hearing election contests, they do sit as a court. And so that's why we feel very strongly, you know, we wish that they had heard the evidence in this case. Again, it was uncontroverted. It was conclusive. Kimberly Butler should have been the second place finisher. There should have been a runoff between Kimberly Butler and Ben Harrison. And it's unfortunate that we even have to look to the courts for relief. But that was the way the party decided to handle it. And that's where we are.
All right, man. Well, you remain in the thick, and who knows? Maybe there'll be legal precedent somewhere in the, you know, Westlaw or Lexis databases that we can review in the future that has your name attached to it. But we'll see.
Well, all right, we'll see. It's never a foregone conclusion in the courts. Again, this was before the party, and we had the opportunity to correct this error by government officials. You know, we're the party.
Oh. Did we just lose him?
Deep state incompetent.
Ah, we lost him. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Copper, did we just lose his signal? Grab the mic and tell
me. Yes, we did.
Yeah,
well, it was him back.
It was closing down anyway. If he calls back in, just tell him I said thank you on the air, my friend Brian Taylor. Well, all right. Listen, folks, we're going to go ahead and jump to the break because that was where we were headed right now anyway. But that's extremely interesting to me. I mean, where does this end? Is there a right to election? Well, sure. Election challenge, I mean. Doesn't mean you always prevail on the merits, but it does mean that there is a statutory and oftentimes common law precedent or ruling or black letter law that says here's how and why, and yes, you can. And Kimberly Butler may be moving forward with more. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.